I know that it will be a little different. I'm preaching out of reaction to a letter that I received. And for some of you who sit in Dan Houghton's Sabbath School class, he actually talked about the individual that I'll mention today. And so I start off by asking you a question, asking that you would just answer that in your own mind. Have you ever thought about what would be so traumatic that it would cause you to leave the church or leave Jesus? Sometimes it can be something that's said to you. Sometimes it could be because of the way you're treated or not treated. Or maybe it could be that there's no joy in God's church. Maybe it could be that there's nothing in particular. You just have other things to do. I've entitled the message, Drawn Away by Savage Wolves. It comes from the passage that was read. I did not want to use such a negative title and be the Zell Miller of preachers. A few more of you got it, all right? In the first service, I don't think anyone got it. But the title comes from the book of Acts. John the Revelator himself speaks about a time when entire churches would lose their first love, specifically the church at Ephesus and the church at Laodicea. I am reacting to the conference sent out a letter, Dan, about Ron Gladden. It was one of our prominent ministers who decided to go it alone. He says that he'll still keep the Adventist doctrines, but he feels compelled to move in another direction and go it alone. But the truth is that he's really not going alone. He's taking members with him. So with that, I have to react. You'll find that I am that kind. I do try and follow what's going on, and when I don't know, Dan helps me. Thank you, Dan, on what's going on in the church. There's a book that I have read called Waking the Dead. Some of you may have read it by Russell Burrell. And he states this, and it really caused me to react. He says that there's one problem that causes churches to lose their way in decline that is rarely rejuvenated. He said, this problem destroys churches. And he says, I have never seen a church that experiences this problem turn around. And that got my attention. I wanted to find out what that is, so I'll make sure I either not do it or it not happens wherever I'm at. Same problem that Paul experienced 2,000 years ago. And that's what was read in Acts chapter 20. If you would turn there with me just briefly, Acts chapter 20. And I would just like to look at a couple of verses and then proceed on. Starting at verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, I'll read while you're turning there. And the Bible says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I trust you're turning there. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, sparing the flock. I was checking to see if you were awake, all right? Not sparing the flock. Also, from outside of the church. Come on now, all right, now you have to stay awake. Also, from among yourselves. Men will rise up speaking perverse things To do what, everybody? To draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember. The problem, and Russell Burrell again speaks to this, he says, the problem is that churches, he has never seen a church recover from this that allows this to happen, is the problem of false teachers. Not any one specific teaching that ruins the church, but anything that distracts from the foundation of our faith, that zaps energy and prevents us from accomplishing our mission, results in a plateau and then a decline and then death of the church. And then he gives a specific example. And before I give that example, I just want to tell you, and those who are guests, if you're not a Seventh-day Adventist and you're visiting, I want to let you know that by and large, 99.9%, I believe that we have some of the nicest churches and finest people that you'll ever want to meet. I want you to know that I believe that. And I want you to know I am just speaking to you. Are you with me? Majority of our churches and wherever you might attend, the people are loving Christian people. But with that said, let me cite an example that is embarrassing. Can I do that? The evangelist met with the church board that said that they did not believe in evangelism, for it was delaying the Lord's return. I've never heard anything like that. I'm not sure which church it was. They said that every new person that would be brought into the church by the evangelist would be one more person who would have to be perfected before Jesus would come. And they had already been perfected, so they didn't want any imperfect people coming to ruin their perfect church. Help me, Jesus. Did you hear that? I'm glad that there's no one, Victor, there's no one in Fallbrook that thinks like that. Not a soul. In 7 years, that particular church went from attendance of 200 down to 20. And it got so bad till the only remedy was to close the doors of the church. I'm embarrassed to tell you that story. For all intents and purposes, that church had abandoned its faith. And on January the 30th, 1987, Vernon Wayne Howell sent a wedding invitation to members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Southern California. That doesn't sound so bad until you hear what the invitation said, and I'd like to read it to you. I have 7 eyes and 7 horns. My name is the Word of God, and I ride on a white horse. I'm here on earth to give you the seventh angel's message. I have ascended from the east with the seal of the living God, and my name is Cyrus, and I'm here to destroy Babylon. I have come in a way that is contrary to your preconceived ideas. I will reprove you for world loving. I will scold your daughters for their nakedness and pride that they parade in my father's house. And by my angels, I will strip them naked before all eyes because of their foolish pride. The young men will abuse my kindness. They will take my life, but I will arise and take theirs forevermore. Your ministers will lament your foolishness, and your lost flock will tear you to pieces. Prepare to meet thy God. And so by 1990, David and Debbie Buns find themselves in a shack-like house being punished for a crime against God by Vernon, a.k.a. David Koresh, for he had discovered in the Buns house donuts and potato chips in their kitchen after a routine inspection. So he ransacked their house, emptied the refrigerator, and then took the food and smeared it all over their house, all over their bed, all over their furniture, all over their walls, because they had donuts and potato chips. I'll tell you, as long as I am here, and in fact, if I hear anything like that, I will definitely be reacting to two groups. The person that did it, and I know that's not going to happen here, and the person that let that happen to them. I don't care if I have a slab of bacon in my refrigerator, and I don't, and I won't. But if I did, you do not come in anybody's house and treat them any kind of way. Are you with me? Absolutely not. You know, life is a series of people trying to draw us away. Politically, we understand that, and we're in that time of the year when that happens. Economically, to our own ideas, and everybody's trying to get some of your money. We never think of the religious part, but people are trying to draw us away religiously. But I want to encourage you, Fallbrook, to let you know that I would desire for you to have a spiritual backbone. I thought I'd get more amens than that, Dan. That you would have a spiritual, what, everybody? Backbone. Everything that everybody says to you that's religious sounding is not always good for you. I would ask that you would, first of all, be kind. Be kind to everyone. And I'm not talking about dissenting views. But some things you do not need to entertain. You do not need to accept. And if you're not sure, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. If someone comes up to you telling you that they're a prophet, we got enough information to read from the prophet we have. Are you with me? Don't spend a lot of time with that person that just told you they were a prophet. I'll say amen. Amen. Be on guard, and Jesus himself warns us against false Christ. And today they are not like Koresh. You know, I thought about this. I said, I probably would not follow a beer-drinking, scripture-quoting rocker. I mean, they're just not going to grab me. But I might fall for a clean-cut, intellectual, Bible-quoting type. Let me tell you something. We may disagree about some things regarding the church. I would say things like church's culture and tradition. I venture to say if I preached on music, we would disagree. And I'm going to preach on that in about a month or so. Working it up, all right? And I'm working up the courage, too. I venture to say we will disagree on that. But one thing that we should all agree on is that Jesus Christ is the head of this church. No man, no self-proclaimed prophet. I'm not talking about Ellen White, are you with me? Jesus is the head of this church. And by chance, if I ever get too big for my britches, overstep where I'm supposed to be as a minister of the gospel, first of all, my wife was going to tell me. My wife and I have a joke. We usually say, your family, so I'll just tell you this. We go someplace and the minister's really messing up. So, what did his wife tell him? So my wife tells me, if I ever get too big for my wife, I get to the leader of the church. after my wife has reeled me in, you come tell me. Are you with me? Please. I believe that leaders that go on their own have forgotten who the leader of the church is. But I want to encourage you and ask you not to panic about the savage wolves that will come. They came in Paul's day, and I would venture that it's not over yet. John chapter 12. I just want you to see this. John chapter 12. Verse 32. I know you're familiar with it. And as you're turning to John chapter 12, I'm going to read it. And it says, and Jesus said these very words, and if I am lifted up from the earth, will do what, everybody? Will draw. There it is. There it is. I will draw all men, all people unto me. Jesus gave the secret of his attractive power. He says, if I be lifted up, not if in the sense of doubt, but only if, because it sets the condition. If we would lift up the cross, Jesus on the cross, that it would be Christ that would draw people. You see, what happens in these false Christs, they tend to be, and this is this thing that you can know that you're hanging around the wrong people. They will not draw. They tend to be driven with the wrong spirit. But what draws people as we lift up Christ is Jesus Christ and his great love. It's love that draws people. And the love Jesus is like no other love. The Jesus of the cross is like no other individual that has ever been on a cross. The person on the cross, Jesus, is the light of the world, is the bread of life, is the greater than Solomon, greater than Moses, greater than the temple itself. You can survey the entire secular and religious world, and there's only one person that we can relate to as it relates to the cross, even though many others have gone to the cross, and that is Jesus. When we see the cross, we see Jesus. People who would not grace the aisles of this church will easily wear a cross. Hip-hop artists with the pants around their ankles and their hats on backwards and bling bling all over will have a cross on. And they know who that cross represents. It represents Jesus. From 2,000 years ago to this time, to the end of time, there's only one person the cross will really stand for, and that's Jesus Christ. See, the cross is the magnet of Christianity. And he says, if I be lifted up, lift him up. You see, Jesus draws people to this church. And my prayer is that when Jesus draws them to the church, that they will see that we have been drawn to him. Now, you may or may not agree with this, but I believe in some strange way, and this is just, I have nothing to prove this. This is my own conjecture and belief, that Mel Gibson, in his own strange way, was lifting up Jesus, and the Lord blessed him and used that to draw. I used to think, no savage wolves can pull me away. When I look over my 37 years in the church, I've seen people who we would have never thought in a million years leave the church and leave Jesus, who you would never expect. And you know I'm telling the truth because you know some people just like that. So with that in mind, I'm going to lift him up and let him draw. Jesus, his death on the cross is the magnet that draws people, because it's really what life, it's true love. And that's what makes Christ's death the highest and noblest and one most wonderful, most transcendent manifestation of love that the world has ever known. Voluntarily took on the sins of the world. And they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Dan, you may have heard me at the end of my sermon. I know you know Pastor Gladden. I don't know him. I think it was more than ironic for our nominating committee. I had a book. I was going to read something out of the book. And you had just shared with me what had happened. I hadn't gotten my letter from the conference yet about Pastor Gladden. But I had his book. I bought it while I was at the seminary and started reading it. It's Seven Habits of Highly Ineffective Churches. Excellent book. Well done. But in reading that book, I think something may have triggered. And you can share with me afterwards if you think I'm on top. But I really think something, I saw something there. He enumerated so many stories. Preachers always have stories of things that have happened in their ministry, that the stories that he was enumerating were of such that it let me know that something was going on in his life. He told a story about on a particular Sabbath. I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this, but I just have to tell you. He said a lady there who was a self-proclaimed prophetess attended the church, and she wanted to share her visions, and they always want to share stuff at the divine worship hour. You need to look out for that. They didn't give her permission, but she got up anyway while the elder was preaching. She stood to her feet, and she started announcing all the sins of the preacher, of the elder who was preaching, and of Pastor Gladden. Of course, she was wrong. Can you imagine if you would have brought a guest that Sabbath when that happened? I won't tell you how he reacted to it, but Pastor Gladden wasn't happy at all. That was just one story. He tells another story about when he was a teenager. He said he had stopped attending church. But you know how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit worked with him and impressed him to attend church that Sabbath, and he brought his girlfriend with him. And when he got to the door, he met a lady. She was the greeter. And she felt the need to greet with zeal. And she said these words to Ron as he was a teenager, just coming back to church. She says, "I know who your father is, young man. He would be embarrassed that you went to church without a necktie. And as for you, young lady," and she was spitting as she was talking. This is what he records. I'm telling you that because this is what he says. "You ought to know better than to come to church without wearing a dress. You're not welcome here until you dress properly. And Ryan said that he made a snide remark about the muumuu that she was wearing. I'm quoting, so you won't think I'm... And she said that she was going to tell his father. And she did. She called his dad. And they had a long dialogue about that. And the dad stood behind his son. But I have no doubt he had to be traumatized by that event. As I close, I must tell you, and it's just not an Adventist phenomenon. So if you're from another church, well, we don't need to look smug. We probably could find this. He has another story of a Baptist church that he went to as a guest. And his sermon was so good, he said amen. And one of the women turned around and chastised him and his wife because he said amen. She did it twice. He said the sermon got so good, he said amen again. She turned around again and loudly chastised him for saying amen. This is at a Baptist church, so I want you to know this goes cuts across the grain. When I read these stories, I said, something's going on that goes on every day in our churches. He's been hurt. Listen here, Fallbrook. There are things that some of us have said to some people in church that's downright embarrassing. And you should ask the Lord to forgive you. And there are some things that have been said to some individuals in church that's downright embarrassing. But let me tell you something that I want you to not forget. There have been some things said to me as a pastor over my years that have been downright embarrassing. Probably today. In fact, I know today, and I'm asking the Lord to help me. You couldn't do it and get away with it. I just won't stand for it. I think those remember when they interviewed me for the pastorate, it was one of the things that came out. I told them, I hope they didn't think I was an angry black man as they were hiring me, but it came out because of things that have been said. There are people who have been hurt in this church. If you've been hurt in this church, I want you to do something from this day forward. You got to do it. I want you to let it go. I want you to let it go. Whoever hurt you, whoever said it, is not the head of this church. Jesus is the head of this church. You got to know that. If you don't know that, you won't stay in this church. And the devil will make sure that sister so-and-so that drives you crazy meets up with you. Come on, Jesus. Am I right? He's just that clever. And you'll find yourself, I can't stay there any longer. And you'll leave what you need. You'll leave Jesus. This is no time to be leaving Jesus. This is no time to be leaving his church. If you have been hurt, and mainly everybody here has at some point or another, let it go. And if you have been the person hurting others, stop it. And ask Jesus to forgive you. That you don't want to hurt anybody anymore. My prayer is that as long as we're here together here at Fallbrook, anybody, I don't care how different they are, can be a part of this fellowship. Now, I recognize we don't put a stamp of membership on everybody, but everybody can attend. Amen? I'm not talking about dissenting views and you having ideas. I'm really not talking about that. But I'm talking about in the midst of all of that, you're going to have to let Jesus. If you're in a scrape like that, just lift Jesus up. Just start talking about Jesus, all right? Just go ahead with the comments. Just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Watch what will happen. Lift him up. I tend not to get into a lot of dialogue about, you know, that stuff that they argue about, that, you know, the 1888 stuff. Come on now. You know they're there. Spend a lot of time there. They're going into minutiae. I'll say, Pastor, why don't you preach from Galatians? I know what that means. I'm not knocking that as much as if you get into that and you're not sure about all of that, just talk Jesus. Tell somebody how much Jesus means to you. Tell somebody what Jesus has done to you. Tell them how you love Jesus. Watch their conversation go quiet. Oh, Fallbrook. Are we still friends? I know that's a different sermon today. You say they're different every week, Pastor. But I want this church that I pastor to be the best church in all the world for Jesus. For Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you're the head of this church. You're the head of our lives. We love you. We lift you up. We lift up the cross. The cross that has changed humanity forever. We thank you. We praise you for dying for all of our sins. Sins of everyone. And Lord, we must, if we're honest, Lord, we must admit that we have made mistakes in things that we have said. There's probably not a person here today that is without fault. We have said things to individuals that hurt so deeply. So much so, Lord, that people think that it's your fault. Lord, may we never, ever leave. For you never leave and forsake us. And the savage wolves come in, and they will. May we remember John 12 and 32. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.